It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, good to have you with us on a Misery Motown Monday. Final hour power. And as we do each and every Monday at 3 o'clock, we are joined by the former head coach of the Washington Redskins, longtime offensive coordinator, and just good all-around swell guy, Jay Gruden, on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln. Hey, I got it right this week. And Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling. Home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle covered. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And without further ado, we say hello to Jay Gruden on the BetQL guest hotline. How are you, Jay?
Good. Did you introduce me as a swell guy?
Well, I said good all-around swell guy after I, you know, like said something else, which I don't remember. Is that okay or no?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
You're good.
I just want to make sure. I mean, you're my guy. You know, Jay. I mean, I would never be critical of you. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I would never question you or, I don't know, say that I know more about football than you.
Never. Why would you do that?
Just teasing. All right, so let's start with, you know, a couple of the big picture items that we've been, you know, chomping it up about is the spot on the Zach Ertz 4th and 9. Jay, I don't understand why we don't have digital ball technology. I guess they tested it out during training camp or preseason or whatever. Like in a sport that, you know, they care more about playing in Afghanistan and North Korea and every other country that nobody cares about anything to make more money. And they have all this digital technology with the next gen stats that measures everything. And all the players' heartbeats and this, that, and how we don't have a system to just get an accurate measurement that everybody can see and that there's no dispute about. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling with all the money that's out there. They can't figure it out. I mean, just look a couple weeks ago at the Falcons-Buccaneer game when Kyler Pitts dropped that ball before the one-yard line.
Yes.
And called a touchdown. You know what I mean? There's plays like that that rear their ugly head, you know, throughout the season. And these are plays that, you know, make the difference in teams going to the playoffs or coaches getting fired. So you would think they would do something.
Well, they did not do anything. And apparently they don't even, like, re-spot the ball the way it was explained to us because it wasn't a challengeable call. It was under 2 minutes. So Dan Quinn can't say, no, I'm challenging the spot and the line of gain. Apparently they just judge whether or not he crossed over the line of gain and not apparently the spot. I don't know. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. What's the coaching point in a situation like that on 4th and 9, which is obviously not easy, in the huddle, on the headsets, on the side, in practice, whatever? Is it always, like, people say, well, how can they run short of the line of game? Why don't they, you know, run north? Well, he actually did. He turned around and spun at the 39, but he had to kind of come back for it. So how, as a coach, do you evaluate the Zach Ertz part of that play?
Well, I think there's a lot of different parts to it. Sometimes you have an element that is a short element trying to attract the hook defender and then that route coming behind it. You can't have two guys in the same spot. So you got to have some route distribution. That's number one. But obviously number two is, especially on 4th down and 9, you want to have at least 3, maybe 4 guys that are getting to the sticks. And you always tell your players that you want to get 2 yards beyond the sticks, because if the ball brings you back, you will still have a first down. That's the most important point. You don't want to just run, if it's 4th and 9, 9 yards, because if the quarterback throws, you got to come back to the ball. You're going to be short. You know, that's such a bang bang play. It just kills you that it had to come down to that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, before we get to the rest of the offense and things that I wanted to ask you about, your view of the Johnny Newton defensive NZI. I mean, listen, I understand that, like, nobody really thought with a minute left, 4th and 1, that they were going to run that play. The Steelers. So, of course, somebody's got to be screaming, don't jump, don't jump, don't jump. And maybe they were. I don't know. Like, how would you handle that if you were his head coach or defensive coordinator?
Well, I think I think, you know, that's kind of Bobby Wagner's job and Frankie and Daron Payne. That's got to be a communication process by everybody before the ball snapped. So, yeah, I don't know if they went hurry up on that play and they didn't get the communication
down. They did. They came quick.
They did go hurry up.
Yeah, so, they came quick out of the huddle. So,
yeah, that you'd like to think that Wagner would be the one in control. Hey, don't jump, or somebody like that, especially coming from a linebacker. He's a rookie and wanted to make a big play, and unfortunately – it was a bonehead play.
Yeah, no doubt. And it ultimately cost them any chance of kicking a game-winning field goal. What did you think of Jaden Daniels yesterday? Because, you know, the positive side is, well, it was against a really tough defense, and he had some drops, non-catches. The negative side is, Jay, you know, he was inaccurate at times, and he was rushed at times, and he didn't run well or have the opportunities, and ultimately he missed especially Luke McCaffrey streaming across the middle of the field.
Yeah, he missed a couple throws on characteristic, yep, and he made a couple really good throws that were dropped, and he had some plays that, quite frankly, nobody was open. I think Pittsburgh did a good job of clubbing the receivers on certain plays in critical situations. You know, Terry got free a couple times, but I think if there's one need right now, just watching Washington, it's another receiver that could separate. You know, Zach's getting up there a little bit, and, you know, Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown, you know, they're not much separators. OZ's not much of a separation type guy. So they need somebody that can really separate, you know, against this tight man-to-man, because Pittsburgh played a lot of it, a lot of man-to-man, a lot of single high fire zone type things where they're latched onto the receivers and wasn't a lot of space for them to throw guys wide open. That was a big issue I saw just watching the tape.
Do you think the pass rush affected some of those issues, or do you think it was more on the sticky coverage?
It was both. I think sometimes he had to hold the ball, which allowed the pass rush to get there. Sometimes the pass rush got there before guys could separate. So it was a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to credit Pittsburgh. They've always had a very good pass rush. Actually, he did a pretty good job on T.J. Watt. It was Highsmith.
Yeah.
Some of the other guys that, you know, wreaked havoc up there in the middle. But for the most part, you know, it's just Pittsburgh's defense. That's the way they play. They play tight coverage, and they get after the quarterback.
Yeah. Although on that McCaffrey miss streaming across the middle of the field, I mean, it did look to me, I don't know if you saw it, but on the high end zone view, that the right tackle Trent Scott, who did a pretty decent job, all things considered, did hold T.J. Watt. It looked like to me. I don't know if I saw that right, but it did look like that, and that could have been a safety in that spot. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, that was a tough throw. He's in the back of the end zone.
Right.
Almost stepped out of bounds like Dan Orlovsky's famous play. You know, and he dropped the, you know, he did the best he could to try to drop it to Luke, but unfortunately he couldn't get there. And, you know, that's probably Luke's biggest flaw is he's not the real fast guy, but that's a ball that Jaden typically will hit 9 times out of 10.
Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, as he is each and every Monday. All right, so we covered some of that. Did you have any issue? No B-Rob again. What did they call? 20, I think they rushed 21 times. Not all, obviously, are called. Some are scrambles. Again, under some of that pressure, did you have any issue considering they had 3 rushing touchdowns and they were able to get something going on the ground, but not enough consistently because they also had a lot of negative runs, too?
Yeah, I had a lot of negative runs. And I just think they're protecting Jaden just a little bit right now, and rightfully so. You know, he has a sore rib. You can still see it's hampering him a little bit, which affects some of the zone read, the counter pulls that they call, you know, the last first few weeks of the season, first 7 weeks of the season before the injury. I don't think he called many of those. I think he called one zone read and a quarterback draw, and that was it for Jaden. So, yeah, I think that had a major impact on the running game, but they still were able to get a few hits on the inside, and, you know, Eckler did a good job. You know, he had 13 for 44, but you know, it's a tough rushing defense, but yeah, I think Brian Robinson Jr. will have play a big part Thursday if he can go.
The fake punt, which Danny Smith called, right? You didn't cross over with Danny. No, he was gone before you got here. The fake punt that he called, Jay, they executed it almost perfectly, and the kid who was here during the offseason and in the camp dropped it, James Pierre, right? Or they would have hit it because the Commanders had no answer. Is that, in your opinion, from a coaching perspective, a good call because it should have worked, or a bad call because it's 4th and 15 and you're way deep in your own territory and you almost have to factor in that maybe something's going to go wrong and you're not going to execute the play 100%? How do you kind of, I guess, read that whole
typically that's an automatic. When they leave the gunner unblocked and nobody on the gunner and they bring him in the blitz, there's an audible. Either the punter throws it or they snap it to the up back and he throws it because there's nobody out there. That's a 25-yard gain. It would have been a 25-yard gain. I think most teams have that in their arsenal. Not many teams on the punt return team leave the flyer by himself like Washington did.
Why did they do that, Jay? Do you know? Like, do you have any?
I don't know. I guess they're trying to get a block punt, and they tried to get somebody tried to buzz out there late, but he was too late. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was the problem. They brought the guy, the gunner, out there and blitzed him, and the guy popping out was a little bit late. But Pittsburgh saw it. It was an audible, and it was executed. It was perfect for him, but this guy dropped the damn ball.
All right, so I guess, so much going on one play. I guess I didn't think about that could be very much an audible based on.
Yeah, they wouldn't have called that.
That makes sense because I was a little confused why Danny would be that aggressive, even though he's an aggressive guy and he's a creative guy, why you'd be that aggressive in that backed up. But that makes sense. Zacchaeus, he had a butchered misjudge against Carolina, and it caused a wild scramble on a ball that ultimately was downed at the 1 yard line several weeks ago. Had a fumble on a punt return against Chicago. Then he muffs the first one yesterday, and then he fumbles and loses the second one. They didn't pull him, but he didn't have a return after that. How would you handle that whole situation, considering a guy who you drafted, Jamison Crowder, who normally would be your number one punt returner and has been, is still on IR? What would you do in this spot if you were, you know, kind of in control of these situations?
Well, I'm sure they're searching for a returner. I don't know if Luke McCaffrey's ever done it before, but he seems like...
In preseason, he had one, Jay.
In preseason, he had one. So, yeah, I don't know if they have the body to do it. Maybe he's the only one out there other than Luke, and obviously Jameson is good at it. He's a reliable returner, but I don't know if there's any defensive backs that can do it or... You know, there are backup receivers that are on the practice squad. Maybe somebody can do that, but they probably got to look at making a change there because that's too many miscues for a punt returner. And it's such a critical part, especially when you're playing in close games. You know, you talk about offense and defense, but it's always come down to a weird special team play. Like Pittsburgh did the fake punt, then it set up a touchdown for Washington, and we dropped the punt and set up a touchdown for Pittsburgh. So these are critical plays when you come playoff time, trying to qualify, trying to win your division on the road. These are big-time plays. You got to have a reliable punt returner, that's for sure.
Yeah, and right now it's hard to say they have anything in that regard that is, again, reliable. But how hard is it to make these changes in general, any changes that you want to make, on a short week in which you have one legitimate practice? And I don't want to say legitimate. I mean, that's going to be probably half speed tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, typically you have, you know, if you got a punt return, he's usually your fourth receiver. You know, it might impact dressing another position. Like you might not be able to dress a sixth defensive lineman or a fifth linebacker or whatever it is. You might have to dress five receivers, have one be a punt returner, and just have to bite the bullet on that one. That's the biggest impact we'll have unless you get away with, you know, if it's Jamison Crowder, he could be your fourth receiver because he can play multiple spots. That'd be perfect, but he's hurt. But I don't know who else they go to. So you probably have to dress an extra guy just to return punts, unfortunately, and you'll be short at another position.
Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. One last one, I guess, on this game. The defense overall, Jay, I mean, they were out there 75 plays. They averaged 4.2 per play. Listen, I know St. Juice and whatever. Thought on how they did overall seemed like they stopped the run, which was good. And B, like in the case of St. Juice, I mean, I was trying to explain it. And, you know, Orlovsky did a good breakdown of it. That's Mike Williams. He shouldn't be blowtorching you, but he's trying to prevent the first down on third and nine and sitting and squatting at the sticks. Is that kind of how you saw all that?
Yeah. I just broke it down myself on a show. So, yeah, it's he did what he's supposed to do. Mike Williams did a great job of stepping him inside and giving him some room for Russell to throw it down the sideline. You just got to be able to burst out of that. You got to be able to get out of that gate and explode and play his hands the best way you can. Unfortunately, Mike blew by him, and St. Juice doesn't have the speed to keep up. But, you can't fault him for being aggressive at the sticks. Not giving up if he would have given up a 10-yard out route, everybody would have been going crazy. How do you give up a 10-yard out route?
That's the coaching point, right? From a defensive perspective, is don't get beat over the top, but also don't give up the first down on third and nine.
I would rather have St. Juice press. You know, Mike Williams, he hasn't run – by a lot of people lately with the Jets. He didn't make any plays. So I would have rather had him press and be physical with him at the line of scrimmage. That would have been my choice. You know, sometimes if you play off, you know, you get different stems and you get in no man's land and it's uncomfortable. But when you press, you get your hands on him and then you can run with him and play the back shoulder and do all the things necessary. That would be my only coaching adjustment there for St. Juice.
All right, so moving on, Philadelphia demolished Dallas, ultimately pulling away in that game. Jalen Hurts, a couple of rushing touchdowns. That's something that we've all seen. I think he's got 50 or whatever it is on his career. What's the number one thing right now with them clicking pretty much on all cylinders, having the two big receivers on the outside? Saquon, Jalen seems to be playing better. Like, if you're devising a defensive game plan, are you trying solely and primarily to take away Saquon Barkley, or are you trying to play it kind of straight up and too deep and take away big plays? How are you kind of devising a defensive game plan going into Philadelphia?
I think they're going to have a lot of carryover from this week. Really, the way they played Pittsburgh, they play a lot of, you know, extra guy in the box. Chin was in there. I think Chin had 12 tackles or 10 tackles or whatever it is. Yep. I think he'll be more aggressive in trying to stop the run. I think they proved that they can handle some of the passes down. They just can't give up the big plays. You know, unfortunately, they have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, which are pretty good. But I don't know the status of Marshawn Lattimore. If he's going to be able to play, that would help out a lot. That would be giving you an opportunity to be more aggressive with your fronts and stop Saquon. Because you're going to have an extra guy down there, just not for Saquon, but for the quarterback designed runs, too. That's what makes Philadelphia so dangerous.
No, you're right.
Their ability to run the ball with the quarterback and obviously Saquon. And then when you do load up the box, you got A.J. Brown and Devontae one-on-one, and he throws those bombs up there. He caught a couple bombs against Dallas yesterday. So they put you in a pickle. You're just going to have to compete and do the best you can and disguise your intent and rally the football and try to force some turnovers.
All right, quick spin around the NFL. So much, you know, going on, and I don't get to see everything, but I'll just ask you a couple of games that jumped out to me. Kansas City, Jay, I don't want to say they're lucky, but they almost seem lucky, right? Like, they grind out these games, but I guess that's just the sign of being a champion. Great defense, they blocked the kick, they were about to lose, and
it's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Somehow they're still undefeated.
Yeah, great teams can win in different ways. They can win defense, they can win special teams, they can win on offense. And that's what's the most important. You can't just be one-dimensional once you hit the playoffs. You can't just have a great offense and rely on your offense, because eventually somebody's going to stomp you. And you have to play great defense and special teams. They have all three clicking. And obviously, offensively, they're not where they want to be. They're not even close to where they should be. But they will get there. And when their offense gets right and gets to humming, they're going to be damn near unbeatable. But right now, I think they can be taken advantage of. You know, I think Buffalo will see how they do against a team like Buffalo, how their defense fares against Josh Allen, and how their offense fares against Buffalo's defense. It'll be a great test to see exactly where Kansas City is, other than winning like 15 games in a row.
Yeah, can't wait for that matchup.
You should know.
Yeah, and of course, the last time Kansas City was in Buffalo in the playoffs last year, they did win that game, although it came down to the wire. So last night, Jared Goff should have had 5,000 interceptions. He only had 5, and yet Detroit comes back and wins a game. From a coaching perspective, I know, Kyami Fairburn's a good kicker and all that. I don't love going for a 58-yarder, Jay, because if you miss it, which is exactly what happened, not only do you miss it and not get the points, but you also give up an extra eight yards or whatever, because they go back to the spot of the actual kick. From a coaching perspective, did you like that decision from D'Amico Ryans, or would you rather gone for it or maybe taken a 5-yard delay a game and punted?
He made one earlier in the game, I think a 58-yarder.
56, yeah, you're right. 56,
yeah. He made it pretty easily, so I think I've got to let him kick it. He's been pretty damn good, and he showed early in the game he's got plenty of leg to make that thing. He just pulled it, you know, unfortunately. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of risks involved. You take 5-yard penalty, maybe, you know, and punt it, and then give Jared Goff, make Jared Goff go 80 yards or 70 yards, whatever it might be, to get a field goal. But I think you got to put it in the hands of your kicker, man, and show the confidence that you have in him. And he could have made it. He had plenty of leg. He just pulled it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, last one for you, and then we'll spring you loose. How about Kyler Murray and the job that Jonathan Gannon is doing down in Arizona? Because the Commanders laid waste to them in week four, and everything looked like it was going sideways. And since then, I think they've won four in a row, and they just kicked the crap out of the Jets. The Jets missed all sorts of tackles. I mean, forget about them. Arizona and Kyler Murray took an I don't know if you saw it, took an unbelievable shot and came right back, and his helmet flying off, and then he's throwing a touchdown pass to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, he's playing out of his mind right now, and James Conner is a beast. Mm-hmm. You know, those two guys are playing high level, and obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. is starting to get more involved. And Wilson and the tight end, McBride, is a mother. I mean, and they're playing really good and confident, and their defense is really what shocked me. I thought when Washington played them, I thought they had the worst defense I'd ever seen. Their linebacking corps took bad angles. They couldn't tackle. Now they're playing really good football, and they're putting it on people. And when you win a couple games in a row and people start to believe and get confidence, they get excited to come to work and go to practice, they're just going to get better and better. They're dangerous because of what Kyler can do, and obviously James Conner.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay, good stuff as always. Hope you're well, and we'll talk to you next. Actually, we got the Thursday night games. We'll figure out the schedule and figure out what works for you next week with the Commanders playing on Thursday night. Thank you, as always.
All right, Chris, thanks.
Appreciate you. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.